This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me. Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
Matt's looking out for you, Matt. Right over my head.
Just like your hand. Not like your hand? Your hand wasn't over your head because it wasn't raised?
Sometimes like your hand.
Sure.
Whoa. Ooh, what your hand? What we watched.
What we watched.
Woo. Movie Club. We're going to start on your hand, Jeffrey.
On my hand? Like
yes.
This one? Oh, wait.
Your cat. I was going to say you're messing up your cat.
Okay. Anyways.
Movie Club time.
Movie Club. It feels like it's been so long since we recorded a Movie Club.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it has been at least a
week.
This is
very
true.
We had Twisters last week. We're all just super busy, so we could not do. But everyone go back and listen to Twisters, where I'm the voice of reason on an average movie, and Brandon hasn't seen the light yet. But now he has. So we're doing Twisters 2.
Ah.
We're doing Twisters again.
Twisters, the second coming.
Twisters.
There's two sets of Twisters now.
I mean, they're... Oh, there's two... The whole, like, they're just every... storm gets copied somehow. And they're trying to figure that out. They're like, what? Whatever we do to this one does to this one.
How is this possible?
No, but actually what we're doing is Movie Club, time travel
movies.
Yeah. And I was, which one are we doing today, Brandon?
I was watching this one and I went, is this a time travel movie? And then I got to the end and went, of course it's a time travel movie. This is all about time, nothing but time.
Like,
yeah.
The whole thing.
Learning how to time travel. So today on the show, we're talking Arrival, Denis Villeneuve's, at the time, masterpiece, before he made Dune.
Villeneuve?
I was going to ask which one is your favorite Denis movie. But anyway, we're talking about that.
So we're talking Arrival.
That's Jeff, who's
I'm Brandon.
Me on my screen. And then
what's going on?
What is your favorite Denis movie?
I'm pulling it up right now.
This might be up there for me. And I really do like Dune, but I think Sicario might be my favorite. I think it might be 1 and 2 might be a fight between this and Sicario, I think. And then the Dune ones are pretty good. And then I don't think anything else he has done is in the conversation.
This is our fourth Denis Villeneuve movie, by the way.
Yeah, we're getting
there. Oh, so I can...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Fifth.
Whoa.
This is our fifth movie. Nice.
What was the fifth?
Heck yeah.
This. Arrival's the fifth.
I guess it is, yeah. Yeah.
So, did we? What are the ones that we did? Sicario?
Blade Runner.
Sicario, Dune Part 1 and Part 2, and Blade Runner 2049.
I forgot about Blade Runner.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm sorry.
I think Arrival is probably my favorite of the five that we've talked about. I think I liked it the best.
If he didn't watch this on the Tales of Deadpool and Twisters, I believe it might have been a 10. Damn.
I love this movie. This is a good one.
It is good.
This is a very good one.
And like considering it's from 2016, it looks really fucking good still.
I remember watching this in the theater and just being blown away by how like the spaceship looked and how grand that like that helicopter shot when we first get to the field and the reveal of that stone like monolith that is the spaceship. I just was like, how the fuck did they do this? This looks perfect.
Yeah, where did they ship that in from?
Exactly.
I will say when I was like sitting there watching this movie, this is a movie that I don't want to say people could make, but like when you're sitting on the truck with just the spaceship in the background and it's a gorgeous background and literally it's just like there's just a, you know, that's the CG shot kind of is just you just put an asset. Like we could do that at home. You could do that at home You know, especially now with AI, like you could make those shots and stuff, but they're, and they're so absolutely gorgeous and simple at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's quite, hard to comprehend quite how massive this scale is.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little bit of research on this. They had practical sets. So like the interior of the ship is 100% practical. I wish the aliens themselves were practical.
They still looked good though.
Oh, honestly, really? No, they did. They looked fantastic.
Okay, I didn't have trouble with it necessarily, I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, the fact that they had a practical set, I think, kind of helped exactly what you're talking about, is it made it look so much better because it wasn't, you know, done with CGI. It wasn't enhanced by CGI. It was all lit, you know, in-house. And so that's really cool.
Some of the lighting was annoying. Can I see her fucking face for once in a while? Like most of the movie. That's all I'm looking for.
I was finishing it up this morning on my projector, and there's like, you know, I have a skylight and there's daylight coming through. Yeah. So that already makes it a bit rough. And then I was just like, damn, I need to watch this on my computer at a certain point because there were some darker shots.
It still looked good.
Like, I don't know.
It was impressive lighting, but could we just like turn it up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is because it was shot for theater and not necessarily, you know, sitting at home. You're supposed to watch it in theater, which makes sense because, I mean, even still, it looks absolutely gorgeous to me. I liked that when she got in there, like, it feels like the lighting wise, what they were setting up was when she's in there, that's the best you can see her. You know, we like those scenes because I could see her whole face. Literally, when the first time she stepped up, I was like, oh, hey, it's Amy Adams. Who knew it was Amy Adams this whole time? Like, so I don't know if they necessarily did that on purpose so that we would enjoy, you know, kind of the scenes in there the best, or I'm just, you know, trying to make stuff up because it was kind of dark.
I mean, it was a lot of you initially think it's flashbacks, but like it was all those like visions she was seeing that were like some of the darker stuff from what I can remember.
Before she got to the camp, it was all super, super dark. Like, at least for me, it got better as it went, but that's when I wrote down another dark, dark shot of her centered in the frame, which they also were obsessed with. Throughout the movie was they love to center her in the frames. And also if she's walking anywhere, we're going to center her and then be behind her following her. That was all like the transition shots of her walking. I felt like we did all the time, which
yeah, just a lot of symmetry.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ton of symmetry, ton of movement as well in from frame to frame and from scene to scene. Bradford Young, who is the DP on this one, talks about how they did that intentionally. They used shadows and they used darkness to kind of explore the idea of he talked about it, exploring it, the idea of it as an unknown rather than as a reason to be afraid, which I think it plays into the theme of, you know, just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's, you know, harmful to you. You know, it just means you need to spend time. You need to, you know, understand each other.
But it's 1,000% reasonable to worry about that, to bring that up. No, I agree with you. But anytime someone's like, well, maybe that's not right. Well, you're a fucking idiot. And I'm like, okay, chill out. You know, it's just not an open. Obviously, this isn't an open space because no one can say anything other than, hey, 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 I know the truth from the beginning.
Yeah.
Even though she was lying. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Even though she was starting to understand. But do you think, Matt, that they overdid the darkness? They overplayed it too much?
For my viewing, I would say a little bit, but I'm willing to admit that it wasn't the best conditions. So it's like, I don't want to, like when I watched that one movie in a hotel room and I was like, oh, the sound sucked, but I was listening to it on a shitty hotel sound. So I can't really, you know, it's hard to judge to be like, oh, it was bad or they did it too bad. Too much based off of not, I'd have to see it in theaters because if I saw it in theaters and I could still see everything crisply and see detail, 100% fine.
And that's how I felt when I did see it in theaters. I didn't have any, like, no, there was no part of me that was thinking like, oh, it's too dark. Like the same way that when that Game of Thrones episode came out where everyone was talking about, like people were watching that shit at home and they were having an issue. That's where you for sure have an issue.
Correct. Like, granted, that's a little different, but yes.
Yeah, well, like when they
it's a TV
like,
show. I hear
but that's the thing. They didn't mix it for the theaters. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys kind of like colored and did things for the theater setting.
I know. I agree with you. Game of Thrones is different because they should have colored it for
that's what I'm saying. That's why the other scenario is like that makes more sense for people to be more upset about it versus this one. It's like they tailored it to the theaters. Therefore, when it translates to the TV or projector or something at your house, it's like, you know, you could run into issues.
They also, it was a lot of cold colors, it feels like, too. There's never, there's rarely, I'm trying to think if there, anything popped. Like, the warmest colors were the flashback forward stuff.
The flash forwards?
Yes.
Future memories?
Well, time, what is dreams. Time? Not a circle. So is it, if it's not also in your future, it's also your past, so.
While remaining your present.
I'm deep, Brandon. Well, that's why I said past slash future, you know, flashback slash forwards. Because it's future, a circle.
Future memories. I'm holding on that. I think you're right. I think that those are probably the times that there actually was warmth to the scene. And I mean, even it, that was brief because I think the warmest tones were when Hannah was a kid.
But I think that was most of the time. I thought we saw her like sick early.
Yeah. And we saw her sick a couple of times since after the beginning, but like even progressively, you know, as she was growing up in that you know, up style intro where we went through the kid's life until she, you know, she passed away, it progressively got darker and darker. So you're right, there was glimpses of warmth and warm tones, but even that was just sucked away so quickly, and we just got cooler and cooler. But I love this movie that it totally subverted what you expect to be, Amy Adams, you know, Louise, she went through this horrible thing with her kid, and now that was her past, and now we're cutting to present day, and that's why, you know, it's so cold and dark and, you know, gloomy inside the college, and we're following all of that, and, you know, the expectation of time is linear was just really played with in this entire thing, and I really, truly enjoyed it.
I agree. The coloring played so nicely with the storytelling as a whole, which I don't know if that's necessarily my favorite part of the movie. It might honestly be sound design, which we'll talk about later. But the storytelling was, I thought they did fantastic job of how they structured it. Like you said, they gave us a little bit of, you know, here's the kid. This is what kind of is happening. And we just took an assumption that it was the past. And it didn't necessarily like, I want to say it didn't go out of its way and like lie to, it didn't lie to us. It didn't like try to kind of trick. It just, it used what they knew we'd assume. And then they just ran with it. And they're like, you can think that. We're not going to tell you either way.
Yeah.
But you can think that. And then when we reveal it, it is such a good reveal. But I thought they did a really good job. And the more you watch, it's like, okay, you can see a little bit of like a clue here, kind of clue there. Not as much as Fight Club did it, I think, but they did a good job of doling it out slowly, but also when you rewatch it, you're like, okay, I guess I probably could have caught that.
Yeah,
If I'd known.
That's what I liked about that entire flashback / flash forward later on kind of situation is like they gave you these fragmented visuals, like, and the dialogue was very minimalistic, and you know they left it very open to interpretation from what we typically see. And then, yeah, I mean, I just loved the idea that they didn't like spoon feed us exposition even once the reveal was there. They kind of just, the dialogue felt natural from like as if it was a memory. And yeah, I mean, that was done exceptionally well. I don't really feel like you see much of that in such tight little like segments or cut together pieces where people usually go big old flashback and then a whole bunch of exposition and kind of spoon fed. So it was just cool to see them do that in that style.
Yeah, and the dialogue stays pretty vague throughout. There are definitely glimpses and moments where I think, like, she says, if you want science-y, go ask your father. That's very, very much later on. And that's meant to be like, hey, did you kind of get it yet? Did you understand where we're coming from? But that's where I like this movie's rewatchability factor. I think that gets a bump up because you do catch those kind of things on second, third, fourth viewings. You get a little bit more, and that takes a really well-crafted story and a really well-crafted character to be able to pull something like that off where you see things multiple times. Mm-hmm.
Well, this also is like a rewatch. Like I think I could watch this like twice in a week and you know, you catch all the stuff, and then you don't watch it for, like, I haven't watched it in years. Mm-hmm. And then I watch it again, and it's kind of like we reset, because I'm like, oh, I forgot. Oh, that's right. Oh, this.
I literally,
you know,
put down a note that I was like, oh, I forgot this was the future stuff. Yeah. Like, I totally forgot until, like, midway, and I was like, oh.
I'm trying to remember what it was, because I think I forgot that the kid died. And then when they, like, mm-hmm. they showed the, I was like, oh, that's why they fought. That was the mm-hmm. whole thing. Ah, now I remember. Now yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
And it's so good, because it's not, it doesn't, like, smack you in the face, and we remember these big, you know, we remember the big stuff, but just there's mm-hmm. a bunch of tiny little details that mm-hmm. do also give you the rewatchability of when you just don't watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the situation that we were talking about whatever movie it was, and I had said, hey, I want something like crazy to happen. I want the monster to appear. I want the giant robot to come out of nowhere and like disrupt society and like this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of started here with Arrival the first time I saw it. It's like, oh, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Like, I don't need to go and interact with the aliens and the spacecraft, even though I want to.
Uh-huh.
But I just kind of want that to happen. I kind of want that just to be.
So you don't want to be in it. You just want to be near it.
No. He does. Oh, really? Oh, see, I mean, I imagine.
Like I said, I would love to be the one to go and touch the spaceship. That would be fucking insane.
I was going to say. I envision Brandon wanting to be Amy Adams, where he's serving and the colonel walks in and he's like, Brandon, we need you. The aliens, for some reason, only communicate through, like, you know, server writing. It's really hard to read. We can't figure it out. There are no other servers. We need you to come save us. And then he's like, fuck yeah. Throws all of his shit. He's like, I quit. Oh. I'm out. Fuck you, bitches.
That hurts.
And then he comes back in like a week or so because they're like, what is going on?
Why did you give them French fries?
They've been waiting for their water. They stayed for 20 minutes. Bullshit.
Fucking bullshit. They sat down 2 minutes ago.
Amy Adams said they wanted a beer. Why did you bring them this?
The whole point of this, Brandon, is you're supposed to predict the future. You know what they want. That's why we sent you to the aliens. That's the whole reason. Amy Adams could be the greatest server of all time, hypothetically. She just stands there and then she's, oh, you guys want this. Food's already in. Here's your drinks. Ooh.
I hate my life.
I literally had a note of asking Brandon if he'd be stoked about this situation or not, based on the robot thing that you brought up in another episode.
Exactly.
I literally wrote down a note for that. So I'm glad you brought it up.
It does check out. It definitely is in line with what we know of Brandon.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad. I'm glad it all lines up and it's all making sense now. No, that's exactly. But then at the same time, like, we're watching like on TV or we're hearing through the news reports or the radio or whatever, like we're just hearing panic ensue in every city and throughout the world. And that was very also reminiscent of the pandemic where, you know, when things shut down, like the stock market crashed and people were panic buying, you know, essentials. And there was just this, sorry, I did it again. There was just this uncertainty and, you know, fear kind of spreading throughout. And that is the truly terrifying aspect of a situation like this, where, you know, it's always fun to say, hey, what if aliens arrived? What would we do? How would we act? And the reality is we'd all fucking panic and there would be, you know, riots and, you know, martial order. And there'd be a lot more terrifying situations than, you know, this cool, hey, we can go and interact and learn their language.
Agreed. And that's one of the reasons why one of the weird things that they got so angry at, like, the military just being like cautious and stuff. Like, they were also, the military was definitely assholes at some point. Like, don't get me wrong. And they ended up being wrong. But it was like, guys, people would be freaking out. We can't just share that they're talking to us about weapon. You know, I don't know. It's just like, I understand when the government was like, oh, you can't just tell people that. And
yeah.
Then,
well, it is a delicate situation. Like, if another being from another world came down, you're like, if we just start shooting missiles at them, they could just, like, we don't know what technology they have. They could just fucking obliterate us. So it's like, we have to approach this very delicately and try not to get people panicked.
Cautiously.
It reminds me of how, like, but I do think it's realistic in the sense that some places would freak out more than others and things. And, like, you know, their politics, religion, all this gets involved. It reminds me of, like, District 9 in that way. Just like the realistic factors of how people would actually react in those ways if some ship came down or something.
I was also thinking about, honestly, the whole thing kind of gave me a District 9 vibe a little bit. Not so much. But while I was watching this, I was like, oh, we could do an Alien month. Maybe I'll do District 9. That's so funny that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Alien month with Alien as our fantastic franchise would be perfect. Let's do it.
I watched the first one so far. I'm trying to get the second one on. First one was good. Production design was fucking phenomenal, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah. The more and more I keep seeing trailers for the new Alien movie, the more I'm just like, this is going to look so sick. Like, they definitely took, like, Dead Space, if you guys ever played that game, and just, like, definitely put in those, like, really crazy horror space vibes. Super cool.
Anyways.
Speaking of aliens, all right.
speaking of production design, the production design was, I thought, really, really freaking good. Like, the camps for the military, you know, that's not the hardest thing to make in the world, of setting those up. They did a fantastic job of it. It was very, it felt very believable to me. Also, it's kind of smart, you know, if you want a lower budget, this is just like a random little set could be placed anywhere, and then you could, like, just leave it and stuff. Yeah. But the ship, which is the most important part, I thought was spec fucking tacular, like just the grooves, the texture, when you get in there, the ideas, the freaking glass wall, also, which nobody was like, oh, they just have glass, like normal.
Well, they just called it the barrier, so I don't know, they didn't really go into detail of what that even felt like.
That's fair. I don't know if he said they have there's a glass divider or there's a glass like divider. They might have said that too.
Yeah, I just remember Amy Adams being like, the barrier, and I was like, oh, the so barrier. They're not defining it as glass, I guess. But yes. Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like glass. The sound design made it sound like glass.
Yes. The sound design made it sound like, well, yes, mostly. Ah, God, it was so hard for me to be like, this one, the sound design, I don't know if I could, like, make this up. If so, they were like, you know, describe me the greatest thing ever. I was like, I don't know if I could, like, match this with their sound, but it worked perfectly, right? It kind of made, it's kind of out of nowhere, but it just worked perfectly in this world. But anyways, production design of that place was the ship was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I think it kind of, again, goes back to how it was a practical set and it was all made with hand, and but it was also minimalist. Like, there wasn't a lot of stuff that was in there. There weren't a ton of props or weren't a lot of hoopla with it. It was very
hoopla.
Very simple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. The bird was a perfect touch also.
The canary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Canary in a coal mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was interesting. I also think tell me if you guys got the same vibe too, but in watching the intro when the shell ship kind of came around, it felt very Dune to me just based on the score and the epicness of the shots. It was all very, like, reminiscent. I was like, oh, wow, that's definitely a Denny thing, because it just, that's just what he likes. Because different composer, different DP, but still similar style.
Are you talking about were you talking about the shot that I think it was like the first time they entered the camp?
It was like all of it, like when they first actually get to Montana and see the ship. Like, there's these big epic shots, like looking up, and the score is all this this fantastic score.
Dude,
like
the helicopter shot. The helicopter shot. I was like, oh, there's Denny. That makes sense, because like it feels like Sicario. It felt like Dune. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of those times where, because we talked about before, it's like, who's the visionary, the DP or the director? If we separated them, who's like got what ideas? And you can clearly tell through his movies, because he's worked with multiple different DPs and stuff, that it's like, oh, that is definitely Denny. Denny loves that shit. And it looked fantastic. It looked, oh my God, I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was insane. That helicopter shot, like I had mentioned earlier, is like, that was the first time I remember in theaters just going, holy shit, this is awesome. And it totally sucked me in. I was, at that point, I was 100% bought in to whatever the story was going to be, whatever I was open to, whatever
are you guys
this
referring
wanted
to
be.
Which one are you guys referring to?
When I say helicopter shot, I think of the shot entering the camp when they first get there on the helicopter. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, when Louise first sees the ship for the first time, and it's got like the fog coming over the mountains, and it's really the first time we see the entire spaceship.
Gotcha.
Are we just going to pull up shots, Jeff? Because since we're talking about production design.
Shots. Am I pulling them up?
While you're doing that, I was going to say that that scene also.
Look at this.
The score is also incredible as well. I want to talk about sound design and score at the same time, kind of, because I think, especially again, when we first see the ship and she's confronted with the realism of everything, like the score is otherworldly. It's like it's mysterious in a way that just doesn't feel of Earth.
I agree. I do very much agree with that. And I'm out. since we are talking about both, one of my favorite things also, we kind of talked a little bit before the pod about a movie letting the greatness kind of shine through. And I sat there thinking the music is very gorgeous. I think this is perfect setting. We hear a decent amount of it, but it's like they left that under the sound design, like under the practical sound effects, and let the world kind of breathe and didn't force or didn't necessarily, like maybe once or twice, have the soundtrack, the music, the biggest thing that's on the screen, the biggest thing you're listening to. You know, one of my issues with Twister, I felt like the music was too much. Like this is the ratio I wanted Twister to be, where it's like you can still see, you can still hear the sound, you can hear the music, it definitely sets a tone, but it's underneath the footsteps and the casual, like, you know, clothes, and the world that you're in was the main sound versus the music. And I thought it was a gorgeous decision. Loved it.
Yes, absolutely. And now I'm doing it intentionally.
Sorry.
Now I'm doing it subconsciously. When they go, like, and they're going into the ship for the first time, there's like this whirring sound almost, even though there's no, like, emission from the ship itself, like, and it creates it's this strange thing that it's like, it's almost, is it practical, is it made up, is it score, is it, you know, sound design? And it's absolutely gorgeous. But you know, when we meet the aliens, or they're talking to them for the first time, and they're kind of flying around, you know, they're doing their guttural sounds, like that shines more than the score does. And it's mixed perfectly.
They're,
it's balanced,
combined,
incredibly,
right?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, after I said, you know, underneath, it's damn near combined, right? They they definitely, like, they were so, like, connected. It's hard to kind of separate them, and I thought it was a very good choice.
They worked in tandem really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Speaking of that first, the first scene going into the ship, Jeff, did you notice anything that, I don't know if you thought of anything when they
scissor
were
lift?
Going into the ship? Yes, the scissor lift. The scissor lift.
I have a note about it. I was like, hey, scissor lifts.
Even beyond that, that is a, because I did research, because I paused it when they showed, they literally showed the sky. It's a skyjack. Uh-huh. It was a 7135. Okay.
Okay.
Good scissor. Hey, good scissor lift. It's for outdoors, which is proper. Yep. Diesel. It's fantastic. Jeff, do you know,
I didn't
though,
believe that when they drove that it was that smooth, though. Like, I don't know when their hands were on the ceiling and they were just, like, gliding across. I was like, there's no way that's not, like, shaking,
not
all over the place.
It's not that smooth inside, let alone outside. Bullshit.
There's not a
Yes, exactly, right? And then everyone going, oh, shit. Hey, you're only allowed four freaking people.
Oh, that's right.
People.
They stacked that scissor lift, too.
You jerk-offs are breaking.
Where's OSHA?
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they got a freaking letter from OSHA. It's six people in here. You're only supposed to have four. God.
No, I love before you pull that down, I love that shot. That's one of my favorite shots of the whole thing. And they do this a couple of times, but this first one where we've got like the alien POV and we're looking down, it just totally disorients me. It totally just throws off my perception of what is up, what's down, you know, and it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's a gorgeous shot, placed perfectly. Expert execution on this.
I would
love
to just balance in that, like, zero gravity spot and then, like, let the distortion kind of come over you, because you're, like, seeing down and you see the grass, but then you look up and then you just see the glass, whatever, where the aliens are, and it's just like super trippy. I would love to just hover there.
Well, and they only do it for the first time when they're walking up towards that barrier.
Yes.
They're upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was wondering. Yes, right? They showed us that. I never, until this showing, this viewing, I've never noticed that. I registered that they're upside down the whole time, but we just see them right side up, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that first, I want to say, I don't remember if they show up first or they show down, but whatever, that first one is like, you just start getting more kind of confused and you're upside down. And then they go from like here to like sideways, which is actually like right side up. And then they do such a good job. It takes so long for us to get in there. It's such a believable wall. And then we don't do it again, which mm-hmm. I'm so happy they didn't have mm-hmm. us do it again, because mm-hmm. they set it up so perfectly. And they're like, okay, that we know that
yep.
you're already confused. Now we're just going to go to normal, mm-hmm. even yeah. though it's not going to be normal, but we're not, right. you know,
it's like that's yeah. established, but you know, now we don't need to oversaturate it. We don't need to go back to it. We don't need to confuse you guys even more. You know, we don't need to use this as a gimmick. We just kind of used it and then we moved on. Mm-hmm. It was a great choice. I'm glad as well. But the acting in that scene is probably one of my favorites in the entire, you know, entire film, is from Jeremy Renner to Amy Adams to Forrest Whitaker. Like, everyone is just so on point in this entire movie. But it's exemplified in that very first, I guess, arrival scene where they go into the ship Hey-oh. And they're, you know, freaking out mm-hmm. about the gravity switch and about how everything is, like I said, they're disoriented. This is a monumental breakthrough. This is a monumental event for humankind. And they just kind of encapsulate that. The panic and the fear with the trembling hands and, you know, with Ian falling, tripping and falling and then looking back, you know, and even his you know, kind of somewhat campy dialogue. It all works.
Answer him quicker, dude. You are in an alien ship. Chill out. Just say, yeah, I'm good. He had asked like what, three times?
Uh-huh.
God, I was so annoyed about it. I was like, come on, dude, just fucking answer. I would say one of my favorite, this I found, since we're looking at photos, if anyone's listening and not watching, sorry, but we're looking at photos from IMDb. This might be my favorite, I think, shot Ooh. In there and like framing. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. You know, we're over the shoulder of Ian. Amy Adams is, I guess, not centered, pretty damn centered mm-hmm. with Abbott and Costello in the background. Mm-hmm. And it is, God, it's so eerie. Yeah. It's so believable. Like, this is a crazy, crazy thing to just pop up and be like, let me explain everything that's going on in here. But, you know, in the moment, God, it all fits so perfectly. Mm-hmm. So perfectly.
Well, when you think about it, they using that single location, it's actually very simplistic, but they found a bunch of ways to keep it interesting, yes. even though we kept going back to it. It was very cool mm-hmm. in that way, whether it was the lighting and the direction and the camera yep. angles, like straight on, maybe over the shoulder like this, like they kept it very visually interesting the entire time to me.
Yeah. Yep. And they mixed with their shots as well. Like there was the one when she gets called in by the colonel, by Forrest Whitaker's colonel, and she has to translate in Mandarin for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's all mm-hmm. in, you know, most of that's in a one shot, and we stay in the wide angle. Like we stay away yeah. from everybody. And so they mix up not just, you know, kind of time, but they mix up shots to help keep things visually interesting as well. Like it's very, very well crafted movie.
And I think honestly, I think it's just to always have you kind of disoriented. We rarely, yeah. it's just not like, hey, we're back in the ship, so it's going to look like this. You know, everything always looks slightly different. It felt like mm-hmm. at least, you know, I you'd have to go through all the shots and be like, oh, they did this many shots, blah, blah. It felt like no matter what we were doing, it was never like the same thing again, mm-hmm. kind of. It was yeah. a new version of something that we were doing. Yeah, that wide with her doing... translating the Mandarin was awesome. They didn't give us subtitles or anything. We just sat there and like let her tell us basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Jeff, this is the shot that Matt yeah. and I were talking about earlier. Just yeah, want to make sure you saw it. That for everyone else who wants.
Yeah, I know
to,
that's
to
the
know.
Classic, very classic. Like everyone knows that image mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, and very frankly, very Denny move.
If somebody knows some. Basic CGI, I feel like we could go out tomorrow and do that.
Right?
I would be absolutely down to try. That would be awesome.
Speaking of subtitles uh-huh. a little bit, though, I wanted to know how Brandon felt about the subtitle scene.
I knew one of you were going to ask.
As soon as, like, Luis got over to the smoky alien side, mm-hmm. when the alien started doing the ink patterns, it automatically started to do... the subtitles for the alien translation, which was very Avatar 2, because all of a sudden we're just buying into the fact that these people know the language well enough.
Well, it's not these people. This is at a critical turning point, right? This is after Louise has started to kind of see her future memories, her future visions, her whatever. She started to see this kid slowly, progressively, more and more and more. It starts to click that, hey, there is a connection between...
Brandon was good with it.
Now and whenever this is happening. Like, there's clearly some kind of correlation that she's tapping into. And they're going to, you know, everyone's going to move out because this is after the explosion. So they've got to leave. Now they have to evacuate. And there's a shot where the shuttle, I guess, comes down out of the ship, and then she goes and she leaves that meeting, and she goes and walks out and gets into it, or she goes and walks out, and then the shuttle comes down. So this is after she's already been kind of thinking in that forward way. It's already been the idea of thinking in this cyclical, you know, way has been established. I'm trying to find the quote, because it was with Ian and it was with Louise. I think it was obviously before the explosion, and it basically, you know, they're talking about how the theory that the language you speak determines how you think and how it affects everything. And Louise is already starting to think in that way. So she gets into the ship and she starts talking and communicating with the aliens. She can understand them, and she can understand this language now, while the other people can't. And I thought that was a very powerful time to use the subtitles and actually say, hey, our intent is for you to think that she understands them, because she's already immersed in this language now, and that changes how she thinks, and that changes her perception of time and of reality itself.
So yes, you did like it.
Yes.
So yes, I did like it.
Okay.
I think that wasn't like they gave you a glimpse of it. I want to say when the first time they said, "Offer weapon."
Yeah,
I believe she just said it means like I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was like kind of part of a transition, maybe, where like it popped up, and then you might have heard them say, "What does that mean?" Then she says, offer weapon, and then they jump to like the conference room. Mm-hmm. I think, and if I'm correct,
that sounds right, because so they're debating the fact that it's like we could have misinterpreted weapon. Mm-hmm. Like weapon could also mean tool. Yep. And all these other things.
But so I think what they were doing with that was you got the inkling that she just read it on her own, not the computer didn't tell it. But then they cut to the conference room, so we never know. Maybe, you know, we just jumped to a spot and we heard the first line of the next scene rather than the end line of the previous scene. And the part of the transition, you don't know entirely. So in theory, she saw that on the screen, on the fake glass wall, mm-hmm. and went, oh, that means offer a weapon. And then we jumped to that, and then to having a whole discussion, and no one really went, you just read that without like being told? So I think
at that point in the movie, too, I heard them very subtly say that they'd been like studying stuff for like a month or two. Like they'd been out there. I don't know how long it takes to learn a new language like this, but
I think it's coming up on 4 weeks. In one of the later scenes. What's that?
I don't know. That sounded like they're currently doing it. And they're coming up on 4 weeks right now.
Coming up on four weeks. Next week, we should know more. Hopefully, we'll get a couple more words deciphered.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it sounded like.
But there was definitely a scene.
There'd be a Patreon where each week they'll give you another word. We have a whole thing. Sorry, go ahead.
That would be amazing. But there was a part where I think on one of the video boards it said day 27. So I know it. Near the end, it was only a month in, which also kind of was like, wow, that happened really fucking fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She, because Jeremy Renner asked her at one point, are you still dreaming in their language? She never answers. Mm-hmm. So obviously, yes. speaking of the languages as a whole, the first vision I believe she had was, I want to say, when she was studying like the first words, like human and the other one, right? I think she had a flash. So you're saying, so she understood it enough to start getting the powers, right? Yeah. Or, okay, so there is a shit ton of people now that are having visions, right? Everywhere. Because that was the most basic, barely understanding it. The Pakistanis are the ones that figured out what the writing, how to even read the writing. They're mm-hmm. the ones that figured it out. So there's a bunch of people there that understand it enough to start getting visions. People have been getting visions for a very long time. And it's weird that she's the only one that like anything that was like, oh, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people were working. I understand she'd be the only one that was close enough and got close enough to like actually physically time travel. But mm-hmm. like a hella people have to be having this power at this point everywhere. How is Ian not? How is Ian not talking to her about this?
Right.
Hey, dude, I think I just saw the future.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Me too.
Or you know, is she the... I don't know. That's a commentary possibly on, you know, what is the future vision and what is like, hey, I just kind of hope this happens. And I was dreaming about this and you were in my dream last night. It's not really a dream. I can't talk to you about this because I barely know you. Or, you know, is Louise the first one to actually truly understand the language? Are the Pakistani scientists, are they just able to start to translate well, but like you said,
it depends on what happens to them in their future, because she only knows that stuff because of what her future is. She wrote the book of the entire language.
The reason she even starts having visions is because she ultimately eventually figured it out.
I think so.
And she's jumping backwards.
I think so.
Or that's what
I wrote down a note that the future is very like this movie is very much the future is influencing our present, like rather than what we usually see out of time movies,
right? Right.
And if you do think it's that, it's the classic, what was it? Stephen Hawking was like, he was like, hey, I'm going to have a birthday party and invite nobody so that if I do end up time traveling, I'll just come back to here. Or like, travelers come. So it's like, because you eventually will know it, then you'll show up, but that never happens. So then nobody eventually gets time travel. That's what I was wondering, if it was kind of like that, where it's like, mm-hmm. unless you ultimately get there and be able to travel, nothing else is going to change. Like, you're mm-hmm. not going to get envisions or anything. And that's why I was wondering. That's why I wanted to see what your opinion was, Brandon. We got the two different sides. What you just assumed it was, if you understand it, as you're understanding it, you become more and more powerful, mm-hmm. quote unquote. Not that it's like a superpower, because mm-hmm. Brandon would hate this. More and more. But instead, we got the other side, which is, hey, that's interesting. That's mm-hmm. good. I like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But cool. I agree with Jeff's side. Sorry, Brandon.
That's fine. You can be wrong in your opinion. That's okay.
Oh, because if it was the other way, how are people not talking about this for a month?
How does nobody else see those visions? Yeah, that's an interesting take for sure. It didn't even occur to me that
anybody else could have these visions. I thought it was just her.
Well, I understand that because the whole movie centered around her and we're mm-hmm. very focused on that. But when you take that logic step up, she stared at it and was mm-hmm. able to identify enough of it to get mm-hmm. some of the power. You cannot tell me somebody can explain to you and figure out from zero how to read this thing without understanding it as much as she did just mm-hmm. that. Bullshit. So either it's the other way or there's some flaws, which are understandable flaws. Because if it is like that, I'm fine with I'm fine with skipping that logic. You know, it doesn't ruin anything. And if I was in the writer's room and they're going, yeah, but wouldn't this stuff be true? And I'm like, I'm perfectly fine with just ignoring that because, I mean, fucking, it's minor shit. Let's have a clean, you know, a clean through movie instead of having to explain a bunch of shit and be like, oh, make sure I know this is about, it's about this and it's about that. So good job, guys.
Yeah. Good job. I think we broke it. that really makes me think a lot now. Thanks. I appreciate that, Matt.
No worries. That's what I'm here for.
So what?
Forcing people to fucking think.
I want to get your guys' thoughts about the CGI kind of as a whole. There were parts I like the aliens I thought looked great mm-hmm. For being just strange gray creatures with semi, you know, finger-like appendages. But then
I was like, hold on.
But then the humans in their fucking hazmat suits, mm-hmm. That sucked. I hated seeing that. That took, like, I think, the gravity approach.
Wait, what part of the suits? Excuse me?
Like where their faces, I don't know, maybe they weren't, but they sure did look like CGI, and they just did. They looked like their face wasn't connected to their body.
I didn't get that from the hazmat.
Oh, you didn't?
Stuff.
Okay, cool. No. Maybe it was just my.
Not, I did not either. I'm going to look through some shots.
I was more distracted by the glare from the huge white smoky light direction on their mm-hmm. hazmat suits, because there was just a big line mm-hmm. on their that sometimes covered their faces. But mm-hmm. what do you do about
yeah.
this? Like,
true. I mean, Brandon, but then also, I can totally understand it if they were to, I guess, because like maybe we don't get a clear view of them the whole time because of the hard plastic and all the lighting and stuff, and it's just mm-hmm. like glares are impossible. But I never was watching it going, oh, that's fake.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The one part that stuck out to me was the her hair when she got to yes. the smoky side.
Yes.
That was the one that stuck out to
me. Oh, yeah.
Misty, yeah. underwater-like, yeah. you know, anti-gravity mm-hmm. place. Yeah, that definitely looked
terrible. And I think the only reason they did that was so that they could establish that's how the aliens are able to float away. But
I guess
I have no idea why. Well, like, otherwise, they could have just had her hair normal, and I would have been fine with it.
Because it's mysterious and otherworldly, Jeff. That's why.
Oh,
yeah, a little bit, honestly.
Because they're hotboxing.
Yeah, I don't know,
it.
Brandon.
Jeff,
I'm sorry. I don't agree with your CG's take. I apologize.
Yeah, I thought it looked practical as far as I could tell.
I don't see anything that makes me go, "That looks fake."
Yeah, in the
and
stills,
I didn't think about
it's
at
much.
The moment.
In the stills, it looks much more realistic. But for me, when I was watching, I went, I don't know why, I just don't like it. And that's how I felt about
I
Gravity
didn't notice
also.
It in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's
so
interesting,
we'll go back
though.
To, yeah.
Guess I'll have to watch it again.
If you pull, don't pull my arm. I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. And then, I mean, but on again, going further into the CG, I will go back to saying that the aliens, like the textures of their like skin and stuff looked really good to me. And then the smoke that was engulfing them looked really yeah. legit too. Like,
same.
Still, it's like strange to think 2016, like I was still finishing up college in 2016, and like this stuff still holds up as just as good as things do today.
Yeah, it is very, very impressive. I agree with that.
Yeah, incredibly so. It looks professional. It looks, you know, higher budget, and it looks well done. And these, I mean, Jeff, you ask all the time, like, what are the things you kind of want to make? And it's like, mm-hmm. these are the types, like, if I were to make a sci-fi movie, I want to make something like this, where it looks realistic and it looks
same.
Hyper-realism.
Well, like, in some ways, this felt like, because, you know, I tell you guys on the same note that I get drawn to Christopher Nolan's style in terms of storytelling and, like,
sure.
and visuals and practical use. And this very much falls in that line as well. Like, I am very much a very visual storyteller kind of like driven because I just love the way that he uses dialogue very subtly, but the exposition still gets taken appropriately to the degree that it needs to be.
Yeah.
I love holding on shots of people's reactions and letting that tell the story. He just did an exceptional job with that.
And I mean,
absolutely.
I think, should we pull the quote from Dune 2 that everyone was all pissy about? I don't like dialogue. We'll put it in here, and then he'll say, I don't like dialogue, and everyone will go, oh, it was so great. It was such a good idea to do all the minimum. But then it was Dune 2. It's like, oh, what a piece of shit.
Which line
but
was
I
that?
Think it
I
was,
don't remember.
Dialogue what? Is for TV.
He doesn't like putting dialogue in his movies. But it was minimum but realistic, and it gave us enough backstory and kind of narrative that we needed, but not too much, unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, and I also like the way when he did use dialogue with the way that Luis's character, he had her explain things to us, like the complex
liar.
Ideas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, the kangaroo thing. I thought
such
that was still, I thought that was still great, though. I was like, oh, I get it. And she's like, that's a lie. I was like, damn it, I believed you. But but also,
I even wrote in my notes, I was like, cool, a cool history lesson. I
yeah,
love
exactly.
these.
I started typing, and I was like, oh, nope, delete. but the other line too, being the fact that, like, you know, it's like, you know, giving someone a hammer, like if all you do is give someone mm-hmm. a hammer, everything becomes a nail. And I was like, mm-hmm. I love
great
that
line.
Those like descriptions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the whole movie like did a fantastic job, I think, of showing, like, making you ask questions and dive into stuff. Like, for example, that it's like, oh, they think it's a weapon and stuff, and then they describe the hammer, and you're like, you know what, actually, that's really very smart, and makes you look at other stuff the same way too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really makes you think, and that I think is one of the bigger parts or bigger things that I liked about this movie is because, you know, they take that I don't know if timeless or possibly overused, like what if scenario, you know, what if aliens visited us? And it kind of looks at it in a different way of how do we approach this? Instead of these aliens being, you know, problematic, it's how do we understand them, and how would humans go about understanding them if they got the chance in the current climate? So I like the spin on the what if, and it mm-hmm. took it in a really interesting direction that ultimately I feel like made it original. I know this is based on a short story that I haven't read, but it did this concept pretty smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
Did it bug you at all when they said, like, they were talking about how China was mobilizing and starting to start the almost attack, and like other countries are starting to follow suit, and then like they were just talking political tactics and stuff, and then there was a line where they were like, the guy was like saying, it's like, yeah, but look what like the Germans have done, like, you know, putting people against the world against each other because we have all these different world leaders, but like, look what Germany's done, look what blah blah blah's done, like they even have a word for it in Hungary. Did it mm-hmm. like, do you remember that line? Like, do, mm-hmm. did mm-hmm. it bug you that they didn't define what that meant? I had to look I looked it up because I was very curious about it.
All right, what is it?
Brandon wasn't that upset.
Uh-huh. It's I mean, I don't know. I guess it's spelled S-Z-A-L-A-M-I-T-A. Anyways, it's salami tactics is what it comes down to. They call it salami tactics. But
that's actually how it's pronounced. Salami tactics.
I know. It's just saying, got all God, these. It's all these extra letters. But essentially, the description of the term is like the practice of using a series of many small actions to produce a much larger action or result that would be difficult or unlawful to perform all at once. So like it's like kind of the tactic of like rather than full out committing like genocide, you're starting to like put in place all these little things happening that gets you to that ultimate goal, and then people are all of a sudden down with it kind of situation, or it's just what happens. It's very interesting. I guess it's like something that occurs in like world like war tactics and things like that, like politics. Like, I was not familiar with that before.
Strategies of war are fucked up. But I know. They're necessary in times.
One more fun fact thing I want to bring up for you guys. Did you recognize
that last one a fun fact?
Well, it was a I hope it's a fact. I don't know. I didn't fact check the fact. But
this has only been fact checked twice. We definitely could fact check it.
So it's like 80% fact. But did you guys recognize the song, the track that they played at the beginning and at the end of the movie? Did any of that music sound familiar to you guys?
Yes. You tell me, and then I'll agree with why. I can't believe it didn't occur to you.
So like even in the very beginning, when they start with like the what we think is flashbacks of her kid and seeing the progression of her going to the hospital and getting sick and whatnot.
It was also a flashback.
It was also a circle.
Technically. You just got to go all the... Whoa!
Okay. But that song, it's called On the Nature of Daylight, but that's the song that they played in The Last of Us with Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett. When he's dying, essentially, and they both like commit suicide, like that was that song. But I guess you guys didn't recognize it.
No, I did. I told you I did.
Oh yes, that's right. Last Brandon, of Us, right? God, do you even
doesn't
like
that one
music?
Guy sing it? Have you ever heard a song, loser?
Same track, same track. I really like that song though.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a good song. All the music was felt very natural. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say one of like, you know, small negatives. I felt like the military was just Forrest Whitaker did good acting, but mm-hmm. military just felt like so cliche. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of the stuff where when she was like, oh, tell him what, you know, ask him what the horse was or whatever. And I'm like, why did we just like straight up believe her, you know, all the time? Like, mm-hmm. oh, we did this or did that. And when he was like, oh, you're teaching him how to read and write? Are you stupid? I'm like, what universe is that not the same thing what you brought her to act like you just expected her to walk up and scream the question constantly at you? Like, what did you? That's fucking stupid.
Well,
and, but it's
I,
just
I kind
to
of,
set up her and shit. No,
I don't know, because I kind of had the same thought is like, wouldn't from a basic standpoint, wouldn't it be more difficult and take longer to teach someone to read and write at the same time? Wouldn't you want to start with just reading and comprehending, you know, the language from one aspect and then go on to another one? That's kind of where my brain works.
Same
is
thing.
Like,
see, I'd also
is starting. starting from there. And it just, it fascinates me that the reality of the situation is when you're teaching someone a brand new language, no, you want to kind of give them more things at once. Plus, it also speaks to the aliens' understanding of time as well. Like, they were talking about how, hey, they don't understand our algebra, but the more complex situations, that clicks. And so, like, you know,
I can't fathom someone saying, I can read but can't write. That seems ridiculous.
I can understand more Spanish than
I
can.
You know
speak.
What all the shapes look like. Yeah, but you don't, you can read them, but not write those words that you can read. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I can understand enough to get the gist of the sentence, but I can't say the sentence out loud, or I can't write the sentence out loud.
I get what you're saying, Matt, but
shut up, Jeff.
I will say I was about to agree with you,
Jeff,
but never mind.
Shut up.
Nope.
Brandon.
Hi.
You can hear it. Jeff's gone. You can hear it and understand it, right?
Most of it, yes.
So, but reading it, you're telling me you can read a sentence in Spanish and not be able to write it down.
Yes.
It's situational, though, because I can read Spanish and I can remember that there are certain words that I recall, and like they have certain structures that are much easier than English. But then let's say you just like out of nowhere just told me to write a sentence in Spanish. I'm just like, fuck, I don't remember like what were. It's like, I don't know. I'm more likely to remember the words in Spanish while reading them versus trying to write them out. Like, you know, like yes. There's some words that are part of your not part of your vocabulary that you can read and be like, oh, I understand and interpret that correctly, but you're not going to write it down. It's not going to become like it's not part of your usual writing.
I will say I'm cluster, I guess. I feel like I'm trying to refer to as writing as a whole. And it doesn't seem, that seems insane to me to be like, I don't know that. Hey, clearly you guys agreed. It seems insane to me to be like, oh, you shouldn't teach somebody. You just teach somebody how to read and not write. One would take way longer. It's the same fucking thing. Be like, you know, here's cat, write cat. Here's dog, write dog. And you're like, whoa, could have just gone, here's cat, here's dog. Come on. That just seems so cliche to me personally. But hey, obviously, that's just cliche to me and not you guys. So
hooray.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more complicated than that. But
speaking of dialogue, which is made of sound, and I want to get away from this for the love of God. How many nominations for Oscars did it get, Brandon?
So this got 8 nominees or nominations for Best Motion Picture, Directing, Screenplay, Cinematography, Film Editing, Sound Mixing, Sound Editing, and Production Design. It only won one. This was the year of La La Land and the Moonlight fiasco. It was a great, great time.
Yeah.
Not a good movie.
It was interesting. Which
average
one?
Average movie. Moonlight.
Mm. Yeah, I never ended up seeing it.
Moonlight's
so slow.
Moonlight's good. It's definitely slow. And
Kyle and I saw it and we're like, fucking A, what did we?
Yeah, it definitely has an identity.
Anyway,
that
the only one they won was sound editing.
Yep. Which they did win for sound editing.
So fucking good, I thought. Just the sound of the aliens. Like, I don't know how you even like describe the sound of the aliens, but it fits so perfectly. The bird, the addition of the bird in the chamber was a brilliant touch, even outside of, you know, they normally do that for people who don't know, take it down to caves and mining and stuff. And the point is if it is unable to breathe, the air is getting poisonous for whatever reason, the bird's going to die first. So when the bird dies, you're supposed to leave because they're so precious that and they take so much energy, they breathe so quickly, it will just it will kill them faster than humans. Mm-hmm. So then you at least have time to get out.
So
and I thought it was, yes.
Sorry, yeah, I love the term.
I didn't mean to. But I thought even beyond the fact that it would be there, you know, not really, but it would be there, is the chirping in the background was beautifully placed in, and at least early, and gives you just a little bit of, you know, a kind of a clock-ish where it's just the bird, it's over and over and over again.
And it's just this constant in the background. We talked about the creation of the alien sounds, fantastic. We talked about, you know, just the stillness of inside the ship and inside the room, the vapor room, I guess, all of that. Just the sound was absolutely incredible.
Them putting the headphones on in the helicopter.
Yeah.
That little transition was great.
That was fantastic. That helped sell it for sure. I think that probably would be one of the top aspects of this movie is sound. I'm not going to lie. Sound, cinematography, and for me, story.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think it was pretty solid. Apparently, I'm looking at trivia. Apparently, Denis and Eric Heiserer, like the writers, created a fully functioning language with those what they're calling logograms.
Pretty fucking cool.
That's crazy. Yeah, so much
pretty
time.
Pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like a deep language, you know, like what's-his-face that did Lord of the Rings and everything.
Peter Jackson?
Yes. No, shut up. No.
J.R.R. Tolkien?
Yeah, that one. That one. Who, like, wrote Elvish and shit like that and, like, created a bunch of languages and whatnot. And it definitely makes it doesn't explain, you know, all the different aspects of it, but it feels real, even though they don't explain every single bit.
Would you guys rather be able to read Heptapod, or would you rather be able to speak Na'vi?
What are you talking about? I would rather time travel. I give whichever one that is. If you want to make that the Na'vi, I don't give a shit about our language. Time travels. The other is just some blue people. So, Jeff, you can answer. Sorry.
I mean, if time travel is if that is the condition of me understanding and reading that language, then yeah, I'd have to go that way too.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I wasn't including that as the condition, but that's fair. That's fair.
I'd only use Na'vi if I was on that planet.
planet,
yeah, everything's trying to kill me on that planet. So.
Unless you're on Earth and you just bump into somebody that speaks Na'vi, which I don't even know how that would be like. Happen. You're just out and about talking Na'vi to yourself.
Until someone said something back.
Oh, I've been walking around for a year.
Before we go to grades, I guess I just want to ask if you guys feel like this movie took a realistic enough approach. Like, could you see if this event actually took place, could you see people inside the military, inside this base camp, going up and trying to destroy the ship? Like, because I feel like that, I mean, back in 2016, yes, and especially right now in 2024, just the kind of extremists that we've got on all sides, on all, you know, throughout the entire political spectrum, kind of trying to take things into their own hands and say, hey, I'm going to defend myself, I'm going to defend, you know, what I think is right, and I'm going to do something radical and crazy. I feel like that was an incredibly realistic approach to how different human beings would react. We had the one soldier's wife just in hysterics over it. You know, we've had the military from multiple countries preparing for battle, preparing for defense. And then we have regular people, you know, civilians looting and rioting. I just thought it took an extremely terrifying approach, but one that I think could definitely happen.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. I think they played it out pretty accurately to what would happen, because I could also see it being a huge political game if were to say happen like this. Like they pointed out something that I've never really thought about a whole lot before, but we do have leaders in all, like so many leaders in this world. We don't have a singular leader of the entire planet, and in that essence, like there are parts of this world that are kind of like playing against each other in some ways. Like I could see people considering all the factors of, like, you know, it's like, so if one country plays friends with the aliens first and like they like them better, it's like that could be a political move if they have crazy weaponry technology that they just give them, and then they become the new superpower. And, you know, they could go a bunch of different directions, but I did like the political regards to it as well, like where everyone's generally playing nice together until they're not.
Yeah, until they're not. Until someone gets spooked, until someone threatens the others, until, you know, something like that. And that truly, again, is just the terrifying aspect that I think is the whole message of this movie. The whole theme is, you know, we need to understand each other. We need to be open to what one another thinks and feels and be empathetic and not afraid and not worried about, you know, playing, you know, a game of Scorpion with the others. Like, you know, the mutual assured destruction aspect of it, of, you know, just because they are a power, because they have you know, the means to kill you doesn't mean that they will or that they should. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I don't know where I was going with that.
Sorry, I mean, I get it. You said scorpion, and then I went dodgeball. I think, right? That's what I was trying to go for. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really honestly put too much thought into like it, like having a message necessarily, or like trying to put something out into the world. And I just kind of watched it more as this is cool, and like oh, they're for the adventure and the and followed like the current story. But I can totally see that, you know. She was definitely the champion of let me talk to them and share information, I guess. But it felt like it was all in the greater mission of, you know, figuring out what they do want.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, humanity needs to work together, but it's more of a means to an end, kind of, rather than you foolish old men, us young women know how to run things. But you know, it was a bunch of men in the room, but
yeah. She's but at the same time, they did listen to her to a degree.
Yeah. Do you really think if she just called this dude, I don't know. I feel like if somebody called me and like, I guess repeated some words, I wouldn't be like, oh, clearly this woman's time travel. I'd be like, this fucking the U.S. government is bugging me. The fuck is this? Not me. Like, yeah. I should listen to you and everything that you say and make entire decisions for my whole country by this random woman that called me on my cell phone.
I do. I can't remember if it was in this movie or if it was in a deleted scene or if I'm just making it up. But I swear I remember what
we have
hearing
so many options.
I hear. Remember hearing Louise. Or the general explaining what Louise said.
It was like her. What, it was her mother. I mean, it was her wife's dying words, right?
Yes, but I thought I remember like hearing what those words actually are, and like it's like a message of peace, or it's like, hey, forgive somebody, or something like that, something to
just
the
in
effect
a real
of,
world, like you just said. You think the Chinese president getting a phone call from a military woman changes everything about what they're doing for this global event based off of that? You think the real world Chinese president would do that?
No, that's where it went off the rails.
That's all I'm saying. I understand.
However,
did a good job. I'm not calling anyone cliche. I'm not trying to insult the movie. I'm just saying that's a weird, right? Crazy.
That's a bit of a stretch. But I guess, again, it depends on the context, depends on what those dying words were. If her dying words are, hey, I saw an alien and someone's going to call you soon to tell you not to attack them, don't.
This is why I want some nostalgic movies so I can make fun of them.
You don't want to have to think anymore.
Grades.
Grading time, where we grade the movie we just watched.
Hey.
One small thing. Did you guys notice when they switched over from Amy Adams to Jeremy Renner for like three scenes or whatever? We only followed her around, and then he started doing narrative narrator. And
I
then,
noticed
like,
that
we followed
he did the
him
voiceover and stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Couple scenes we followed him, and then or like a scene or two, and then went back to her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice like what the reason was necessarily. Kind of just happened. I didn't think she was passed out or anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see
outsider
any, like,
look in on our main character. I guess I'm not sure why they chose.
Yeah,
to do
I would
that.
I would assume so. It was just it kind
of like I think it was during a montage process, right? Like passing of time. Like they were getting progress while like interacting with the aliens and stuff. I feel like that's when it happened, but at least the one I noticed.
That's interesting. I only noticed the narrative, him doing the narrating one section. He did
okay,
it the
that's
whole
what
time?
I thought too. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I thought Which, you said there it were two. So I, yeah.
Well, it was a bunch at one point where mm-hmm. it just like went through
mm-hmm.
and it was like, and I'm pretty sure we followed him at some point, the camera, because I was noticing that we never were away from her
mm-hmm.
and then it happened. And I just didn't remember. If it was the jump in time, that would make sense. That would check out of why. why they did that, or that what was that? Guess that was the jump or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, sweet. So Brandon's got to go first.
Brandon,
right? Wait, yeah. I'm so discombobulated. You did Tenet, you did Arrival, and I'm doing Edge of Tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think so.
I've been just thinking them as a group of three. So that was, I'm pretty sure Brandon did this, right? You picked it, right?
Cool. Let's do it. Yeah, I picked this one because ever since I saw it in 2016, I loved it. I love the idea. I love the execution. It's a powerful movie. I thought it was just solidly put together. Everyone did a great job with it and within it. Like I said, I feel like it was pretty realistic and a smart approach to kind of convey what the implications of an alien invasion in quotes, would kind of do to our current civilization, with the added benefit of taking a particular stance on the political climate of the day. Plus, again, it answered the question of how would you deal with the first contact being made in a very specific manner. And that understanding them is the key, and understanding each other is a true moral, which I think is where the movie kind of earns its stripes, really. The cast is stellar. Amy Adams is fantastic. Jeremy Renner is great. Forest Whitaker is solid, as always. The score is absolutely outstanding. I loved it. Cinematography is magnificent. That just, you know, evoked a lot of emotion for me as well. And the visuals, for me, kind of were hit and miss with the CGI or with some of the aided special effects. But overall, it was really clean cut, and you could see everything. I could see everything. I didn't think anything was shrouded in too much darkness or anything like that. I enjoyed the character study that it was. It's not my favorite movie of all time, but it definitely is up there, and I definitely enjoy it a lot. I think I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10. Something like a Midsommar, like a Revenant, Hateful Eight.
My guess last minute there.
Oh, but, I was too focused on myself. I didn't even look at it. Dang it.
But yeah, I've got this one at a 9. Solid 9.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not next, Brandon. I mean, Jeff, God, I'm struggling.
50-50 chance. No, I agree. I think this movie is very well-rounded. Like, there aren't very many things I can think of as, like, a downside to it. Aside from, like, you know, like, the little plot holes that we might have, like, discussed of, like cliches and things like that.
Nope, none of those are true. Shut up, Jeff.
That's right.
None of those
art.
Are true. How dare you say that?
I know. What am I thinking? But no, I think the actors did really well. The visuals are amazing. The score, working in tandem, the production design, like everyone in their respective departments killed it. And I think in that regard, I think I'm gonna put it at an 8.75. It's just really solid and good and up there. It's not like on my top list stuff, but it is a good watch, and I really enjoy it.
All right, 8.75 for Jeff. All right, I don't know if I was happy. See, because I'm leaning towards we hypothetically could have had an entire matching podcast. Because I think, because when I look at it, I think sound design was fantastic, but I really loved how much it visually gorgeous it was. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I could watch this again with just, I don't know, without any sound on and still enjoy just the visuals of the camera work. And I know the coloring still, even though there aren't, very vibrant stuff, I thought the coloring was still consistent, good, solid. The camera work was amazing. The story was, it was pretty damn good. You know, maybe small things here and there, but like, damn, it was. I'm looking at my stuff, and I mean, I had more fun than I enjoy watching it more than, Avatar 2. Personally, There Will Be Blood. I thought this is better than that. Wow. It's more of a story that I like to watch, the kind of venture, the thinker, the lines of the bullshit line with the kangaroo and stuff. I mean, I love that style. Do I want to put it on the same level as 1917, Joker, and the Half-Blood Prince, which I have at 9.25?
Mm-hmm.
I
I know, it gets tough because they're like, so they're also like not comparable in some ways too.
Exactly, right? It's they're so different hard. Different style movies. And
it's like, I might change mine later down the road. I don't know.
And I you know what? I don't know. We'll all just do different so I don't have to match with Brandon. I'm going to go, no, I truly do believe it might be on the same level as those three. Mm. From 8 years ago, it was gorgeous. It's very tiny, if anything, problems. And it let the good shit shine. And the sound design was fucking amazing. All right, yeah, I'm going 8.2. I mean, 9.25.
Ooh,
I'm going
nice.
9.25.
Nice. I'll probably change mine here very soon.
Heard, I got you, man. 9.25.
Yeah, it's hard. I looked at my same list, and I'm just like, I know it's higher than an 8.5, but I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's like some things might have to shift for me to find its like right spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
My nine flat is like Fight Club, which I'm like, I think it's better than Castaway. Mm-hmm. I think it might be better than Jojo Rabbit, which are my nines. Fight Club is where the trouble is, but I think Fight Club might need to be at 9.25 for me. Mm. Which, hey, if everyone sticks around, end of the year, we will do changes. End of the calendar year,
yes.
We are allowed to do changes. So things can, tweak left and right. Mm-hmm. Generally,
make
you don't
shifts.
Do massive ones. But that is a long-ass ways away.
Not that long. I can't believe we're already fucking in August. Holy shit.
Ryan, tell me about it.
Way to date almost the there. Podcast.
Always. Old as fuck.
And next week we're going to do...
Tenet, right?
Do you want to? I don't. Did we discuss which one
we
is
have
which?
Not.
Sweet.
Next week's Tenet.
All right,
Tenet.
So yeah, next week is Tenet.
And which neither of you have seen, or Brandon saw once, didn't love it, and then Jeff hasn't seen
I've
it.
I've seen it a few times.
I saw it in the theaters when it came out, and that was the... one and only time I saw it, so I'm excited to rewatch it.
Yeah, it's a palindrome.
I'm feeling Brandon might
like
not
Hannah.
Like it. Oh.
Like Hannah?
Yeah. Tenet is Tenet backwards.
Shut up.
Oh.
For real?
Crazy.
Read it forwards and backwards? So if I put this movie on in reverse, it's going to be the same movie?
No, but I bet you it would make
You'll
sense.
You'll see the backwards
in a
portions playing forwards, which will be very interesting.
I bet you it would make sense in a weird way.
Right.
Do I have to put on Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon at the same time for it to all sync up?
Backwards,
I
yes.
doubt it. But possibly you can if you want. You know, I think watching it backwards would be weird, so might as well. Fuck it.
Let us know how it was.
Sweet, yeah, so Tenet's next week, and then stick around later in August as we continue our time traveling through August with Edge of Tomorrow, which I haven't seen, so I'm excited to watch that one as well. Yeah.
Nice. I'm predicting it's going to be a good ratings month, I think. I don't know how much everyone's going to love Tenet, but Edge of Tomorrow is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd say
okay.
fun. Yeah.
Be interesting.
And then, Matt said at the beginning, last week we had a special Sunday presentation of Twisters to make room for Deadpool and Wolverine for our Thursday show. So go check out both of those episodes out anywhere you get your podcast. Go check us out on YouTube. Come interact with us on our socials. We're all over the place. All the information is going to be in our show notes. And thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to Arrival.
Enjoy Were you movies, upset guys? When they said... what happens next and they're like they arrive
they arrive
like,
yeah
you could have just said it's the arrival you motherfuckers.
We got a couple of almost titled drops that I was fine with. I was okay with. It's probably what kept it out of a 10 for me, but that's fine.
I wrote down Brandon's blue balls. All right, well, Brandon's on the note of Brandon's blue balls, bye
bye,
bye.